Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, to my brothers and my sisters out there in PRF land, welcome to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also hosting alongside with me is Mary Ann Williams and also Sister Adia Sander. There are no strangers to all of you who have listened to our show before. And I just wanted to just tell you that we thank you and we appreciate you so much for taking the time out of your schedule every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time just to listen to what God has placed on our heart and the things that God has placed in us to get out to you, the listeners. So with that, what we want to do is just go right into the show because we have several things that we want to talk about today. You know, as we approach this holiday season or holy day season, whichever one you want to call it, one of the things that we acknowledge, and we did this last year, was that so many of us have different rationale for everything and anything that we do during this holiday season. Some people, y'all, are big spenders. Some are big givers. Some become very charitable, and where they never have given a waitress or somebody or a waiter no more than a dollar after they left the restaurant or before they left the restaurant, now all of a sudden become big tippers. Some people like to take time off of their schedules to relax. Some like to just spend time with family. Some of us like to go on vacation. Some people like me maybe like to go home every now and then just to hang out with some of my family and friends, although my wife does not like to travel back home to Philly because of the snow and because of the cold. But whatever it is, you know, some people go to church during the holidays. Some people do church during the holidays as they've never done it before during the rest of the year. I'm not judging them, just saying we know that there are certain times of the year when our churches seem to have a little bit more people in them. Some people like to do very big community service projects or just like to get involved with the community, right? So whatever it is, regardless of what you do, I want everybody to know that once the holidays are over, for many people, for many of us, the reality of life will set back in. Dear Brother Feaster, he mentioned that last week as we were talking on our show last week about prioritizing your holiday spending. And so with that, that's what's leading us up to our conversation today. We started off last week talking about prioritizing your holiday spending, but I just was led to not focus so much on the spending and really just try to see where we are as people, where we are as believers, where we are as people in different faith communities. Where are we when it comes to these holidays, and what are our priorities? And I will tell you up front, we have a young man that's going to be joining us momentarily. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about what we're going to be dealing with tonight from a young person's perspective. And this young man has a powerful message. This young man has a powerful witness. So I'll give a little bit more about him in a few moments. But what I want to do now is just come over to you, Mama, Sister yeah. Mary Ann Williams. Say hi to the listeners for us. And also just, you know, what do you think about the topic? What do you think about what we're dealing with when we talk about holiday priorities?
Okay, first of all, good evening, my family, and thank you so much for joining us. One thing comes to my mind is that, as we know, 365 days a week, things, financially unseen things can happen. And I'm just going to talk about me, okay? And then I have no emergency fund, so I'm just going to say this is what would happen to me. Okay, now some things have happened already. Unseen financial things have happened to me, and I don't have an emergency fund. So now if I do reckless holiday spending, it can not only put me in debt, but having to double up all my unpaid bills, plus because the creditors that have given me has some mercy on me. I don't have a good reputation with them anymore, and it could eventually lead me into filing bankruptcy because I don't have a choice. So for me, it would be a very unwise thing for me not to keep my word with my creditors just because it's a holiday. Well, you know, they have to understand that it's a holiday. No, they don't have to understand anything because I called them up and I made arrangements with them. So what they do under my creditors do understand that I need to keep my word. And then by me not having an emergency fund for unseen financially unseen things that can't happen, then that would put me into, I wouldn't have no choice but to file bankruptcy. So my priority, just my holiday priority for me should be to focus on keeping my word and paying my bills. And then I can always do something after, you know, say maybe in 3 or 4 months, after I get my finances where they need to be, that I don't have to call my creditors up and ask them for extensions. That's my priority for the holiday.
Wow, I think that's a really good one. And I'm going to try to keep some confidentiality here, but, you know, it's hard to think about being a debtor during this time, or excuse me, a creditor during this time, and thinking about so many people who will make the choice not to take care of their financial responsibilities for the simple reason of, I got to make sure that I get my children something for Christmas. I got to make sure that we have a turkey, a ham, chitlins, hog mogs, fatback, turkey wings, 5 different types of vegetables, 4 pies, and 2 cakes for Thanksgiving in my house. So I'm not going to go too far in that, but you said it. It is so critical that we take care of our financial responsibilities in light of this being a holiday season. Because as I said at the top of the hour, what is it going to look like when we go into 2015? One thing that always kind of gets me, and I'm going to come to you, Adia, if you don't mind, but one thing that always kind of gets me, and I didn't grow up in the church all of my life, and I remember as, you know, I started growing with Christ and becoming an active member in the church, one of the things that I started realizing was, what's up with this going to church on New Year's Eve? I said, man, you know what? I'd rather be in the club hanging out. You know, this was, you know, several years ago. I'd rather be in the club hanging out. I'd rather be doing my thing. And I'm like, why are these people always going to church on New Year's Eve? And then I would observe from the outside looking in, so to speak. Y'all know I'm crazy. Y'all know I would look from the outside looking in saying, but here come February and all in hell done broke loose in your household. So what purpose was it going to wash night service to bring in the new year? And then as God started dealing with me and as I started participating, I started realizing, just like we realized last year, y'all, dear mama, that there was some things that some of our people, some of us, myself included at times over the years, failed to do before New Year's Eve. See, God is not the type of God that just because you have a New Year's Eve service, he's going to wipe your debt away for 2015 in the next year.
True.
My goodness.
Man.
It may happen. I want that person, because it's probably only one in the world, but I want that person to come onto the air, onto the PR table and say, God did it for me. I went to watch night service and I had no more debt for 2015. I went to watch night service on January 2nd, somebody called me for a job. I want to hear those testimonies. However, the reality is they're few and far in between. So, Mama, I think you have given the listeners just in the first couple of minutes of this show tonight something that is so, so very critical. You need to make sure that you keep your word with your creditors and pay your just debts. Because if you don't, you know, we can always go back to 2 Kings chapter 4, which you know is paramount for the PRF table. If you don't do that, then the creditors can come for your children to take your children as slaves. So I think we may have lost Adia for a minute. I'm sure she'll be back on. If you're just joining us, tonight's show we're talking about holiday priorities. And as I spoke to you a couple of minutes ago, I told you that in a few moments we're going to have this young man that's going to be joining us by the name of Chris Ox Jr. And this young man has a powerful message. He has a powerful witness. I've heard this young man preach before, and I said, oh, my goodness, I didn't know God can put so many things into a small package. I know he's smiling as he's listening before I bring him on. So with that, let me just tell you a couple of the things that I would like for us to just throw out there, and if you want to join in and respond, feel free. The number is 914-338-1692. Again, 914-338-1692. Let me do this while Adia is out. A couple of questions I want you to think about if you decide you want to call in. I want you to think about what are your priorities during the holiday season. And I want you to think about it in this terms. Is your priority about holiday spending? See, I can't say what your priority is. The only thing I can do is see what you do. Is your priority spending time with family? Is your priority giving to the unfortunate? Is your priority getting out of debt? Is your priority getting into debt? Is your priority expecting presents? Whatever it is going to affect you in 2015 from a positive or from a negative perspective. So without further ado, Mama, let me go to this young man named Chris Ox, and I just want to bring him into the conversation. I just want to introduce him and allow him just a moment to say who he is and anything on his heart about just where we are right now in the show. So, Chris, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, man. How you guys doing? I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me tell y'all. Let me tell y'all how Chris wound up being on the show today. Chris is a young man, and Chris sent me a message yesterday, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Chris. Do you?
No, sir. Not at all. Go ahead.
Gotcha. You know, Chris sent me a message yesterday, and he said, hey, you know, he calls me Mr. Nathan. Hey, Mr. Nathan, I just want to, you know, let you know that, you know, if anybody is out there and you know anybody out there, I'm paraphrasing, that needs anybody to speak, I'm available. And, you know, that thing kind of touched me, Chris, because I said, you know, I was dealing with something yesterday that I had to talk to a couple of people about, and a pastor friend of mine called me up, and he asked me to preach for him a couple of weeks ago. He called me up two Fridays ago and said, hey, can you come preach on Sunday? I'm not feeling good. I haven't been feeling good all week.
Right.
And I just want to go ahead and get somebody else in there to preach and speak to the people because I know I'm not feeling well. So he entrusted me with that. He called me the other day, and I had a brother that came down with me, Reverend Bishop, who's been on the show with us before. Mm-hmm. And we always support each other. If somebody calls him to preach, I go with him. And same thing, vice versa. And what Pastor Battle said to me was this. He said, I'm having watch night service. I know it sounds crazy, me just clowning on watch night service, right? But he said, I'm having watch night service, and I would like to know if you can ask Reverend Bishop if he would preach on watch night service for our church. And I said, absolutely. I'll contact him, and I'll find out what his schedule is, and I'll get back with you. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, when I was a young minister, he said, I promised myself and I promised God that if I ever got an opportunity to be pastor or have an opportunity to be the one that could have somebody and give somebody an opportunity, then I would do that. And I cannot tell you how many times this brother has asked me, and I have graciously accepted on several occasions to come and preach to his congregation, even with him being there. And so when you hit me up yesterday, Chris, and you said, hey, I'm available, I said, Lord, help me to try to find a way to maneuver this young man into what we're going to be talking about because we already had the schedule set for today. So, Chris, tell the people just who you are. Give them an opportunity to hear a little bit about who you are and what you're doing and what God is doing with you.
Absolutely. My name is Chris Ox. I live in Smith Station. I go to a church in Smith Station called Adareth Church. We're named after the story in Kings where Elijah walks past Elisha and he casts his mantle onto him and tells him to follow him in his ministry. And the word Adareth is literally the Hebrew translation for mantle, so our church is really big on passing on the mantle from one generation to the next and fathering children that may be lost and parents of this world to meet a heavenly father that's worth their time and they can know that he loves them. I was radically saved at the age of 16. And ever since then, man, I've just had a fire passion and a fire hunger in my belly and in my spirit to learn the Word of God. And my pastor, Donnie Clark, that pastors up there at Adair's Church, has spent years pouring into me apostolically and making sure that I'm prepared for opportunities like this. You know, he always tells me that the things you have to do when it comes to getting yourself ready for ministry, it's like a chef who has to make sure that all his knives are sharpened, so that way when he looks in the drawer, when he needs a knife, he can pull out a knife and it won't fail him, that he can use it and it'll cut what it's supposed to cut. So a lot of time under him and making sure that, you know, that I'm just in a position to where things like this happen and opportunities to minister arise, that I'm more than prepared and more than filled with the Spirit to be able to bring a timely word for the people. And I recently just began pastoring at that church, associately, I guess you could say. We have a youth ministry going on there that's been flourishing for a pretty good while, and we're on a little bit of a hiatus right now because we're lacking some people. But we're looking right now to build that back up, to find just a generation of kids, man, that's really hungry to find out what God has for them, rather than to settle for the lies of the things of the world. So that's really where I'm at right now, man. I just want to go ahead and say thank you again for having me on, because this is big for me, and I'm really hoping that I can help some people out tonight.
Amen, amen. I can tell that everybody who is listening to you was really just feeling the anointing coming from you. So,
I appreciate that.
Awesome, awesome. So, look, I'm going to leave your mic open, so just jump on in there as you feel need.
Sure.
One of the things that I thought about was, as I ran down that whole list of questions for everybody to answer, was about, one of those things was about expecting presence. And I guess I'll start with you, Chris, because yesterday what we were talking about, you and I, was about how young people can make the burden a little bit lighter on the parents if they have a good understanding about what this holiday season is about. And if we start talking about Christmas, that's fine. It doesn't matter. But speak to us on that, if you will, about these expectations of presence and what should our young people be looking at? Because I think that for us as adults, the reason some of us go out here, I don't do it anymore, my children know, but I've done it before. While we go out there and have spent so much money during the holiday seasons buying 5 pair of tennis shoes for a 2-week-old baby, you know, doing crazy things like that is because we think that we expect you to have to want that desire to have those things. And at the same time, some of us may have in our background, because we didn't have certain things growing up, I've heard it before, well, I want to make sure that my child has it because I didn't have it growing up.
Right.
So what kind of context can you give us as I would call it, as a millennial, you know, as a young person, as a youth pastor, if you were talking to some kids? Talk to us as you were talking to the kids, because most of the time that's the way we need to hear it as adults anyway.
I think the biggest chunk of that comes from the fact that I can specifically speak for my generation, but even so much the one before me, is that we have – fallen into this sort of trap, if you will, that the things that we own and the possessions that we buy and earn for ourselves and the things that we have to call our own are what qualify us as successful. The more things we have and, you know, the more things that we can buy and the more money that we have and the bigger TV and the newest car or the newest pair of Jordans that just came out at Hibbett's or whatever it is qualifies us as being somebody. And I understand that parents, in a sense, because of that, feel indebted to their children, because the unfortunate thing is that most kids, when they don't get what they want, end up completely rejecting and casting out the people that only want the best for them because they're not given the best that they think they deserve. But there comes a line where parents also have to understand that there is a level of stewardship that is expected from them on God's part, when it comes to their finances, and that comes to anything when it comes to raising your kids or anything like that. There's a level of stewardship that you have to put in to make sure that those things grow properly. And there's a level, especially in finances, since that's the main topic of tonight, is there has to be some sort of limit that you put. You know, that it's not that you're placing value or invalue on your child, but there has to be something that tells them there's a sense of responsibility in me that needs to be entrusted to you from me. And kids really need to realize that it's not because your parents hate you. It's not because they don't think you're worth the 5 pair of tennis shoes or whatever it is, the PS4 or anything like that. It's that, yes, although, you know, I mean, you might want it. I mean, if we're being honest, I want a new car, you know, but, I mean, there's one of those things to where I'm responsible enough because my parents have taught me that instead of expecting it to be handed to me because I'm your child and that's what I deserve, there's a level of work there that has been noticed, especially in my parents, because they're two of the most hardworking people that I know, that's really kind of been lost, and I guess that you could say in transition between parents and kids today.
Well, you know, I Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, it talks about be anxious for nothing, and I know that is not in the same context of what we're talking about, but I think that is a good word that we can pull from out of the Word of God to all of us. We don't need to be anxious to hurry up and put things into your hands, especially things like cars and things that large sums of money, and we haven't taught you the responsibility of how to deal with large sums of money.
For sure.
So I'm appreciative of your comments about it's a two-way street. You know, we have certain things that we have to do as parents, and not just as parents, because even as grown-ups. You know, in Proverbs, it says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children.
Mm-hmm.
So if we as the grown-ups, as the adults, as the parents and the grandparents, if it's so much about, if our priorities right now is really about what can we just give to our children, what can we give to our grandchildren, to our nieces, our nephews, for the right now, but we have not done anything to invest in their future for later on, then I think the priority is not really there. One of the things that I would say is, and this is speaking to the grown-ups here, if we spend more money on Christmas presents than we have in a savings account for our children or a college fund for our children, something may be wrong with that picture. There may be a mispriority there. We shouldn't spend $500 on the PS4, the Jordans, bull riding tickets, Usher tickets, whatever you want to call it. You know, like I hit all demographics, you know. But we should, I don't think we should be doing that without having something set aside for the children, because at the end of the day, after my daughter goes and sees Usher, as my cousin goes to the bull riding contest, after those things are over with, all they have is a memory.
Yep.
And one of the things that we don't want to do is have a memory of, man, I want to go to college, but I can't now because there's nothing there. Nobody took the time to set something aside for me while I was 4 years old, and here I am, 18 years old. Now I want to go to college, but my parents can't afford to send me to college. So, Mama, did you have anything you wanted to bring in or wanted to ask Chris? I know you're sitting over there in awe. I just know you.
Yes, it's just, you know, I thank God for you, Pastor Chris, and how you accept the calling that God has placed on your life, and how you're willing to share it and extend it to us. As I was listening to you, as being a young person, I'm just amazed because, you know, even in the Christian community, my experience have been the bling.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the bling, you know, and nothing's wrong with the bling. But again, as we're talking about priorities, we must get our priorities in order.
Right.
And we have to be a good steward. As you just everything that you're saying here is, I just feel anointing on this is just so real, because after the holiday, as you said, Nate, also, what happens? Reality is setting in.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is here now. You spend $500 on Usher, Jordan, and whomever else is out there to have something going on, which is what they do, because they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to put out things for us to make money. That's what they do. And now,
yes,
what
ma'am.
We're supposed to do is to be a good steward. And as you're talking about teaching your children, the children only have the parents. And so if we're parents, don't instill things into our children, and we have to be Yes, we can't be yesterday and then, okay, come time for Christmas, well, he's been really good, he made good school, good grades in school. No, why are you even telling him yes? You know, we have to sit down with our children and explain to them why. And a lot of times we just say, look, you're not getting it. I mean, I didn't explain to my son why. And
right.
they can't afford it. Well, you know, children need to have an understanding of finances. And right there was a good time for me to have instilled in him finances, but I didn't really think about it that way, you know. So
right.
I'm just glad that you are really working with the youth, because we as older people are going to do what we want anyway. But young people, they will listen. And then they have to see also you doing it.
Right.
You know,
it
they
is,
have to,
a,
as you were teaching, yes, as you were teaching this, they can see you with a car. And then here you come before the church, because now you're going to lose the car. And now also you've done lost your house.
Right.
So you have to also be a good steward.
That's right.
And this is
That's
really
right.
going to help the young generation. And it's helping me, too, to feel even more so. You definitely got to keep your word.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
I don't
right.
have an option here. I've talked to them. God gave me favor with them. I must keep my word no matter what. So I just thank God for you, you know, for Nate, my son, you know, of really taking an interest in you and to give you this opportunity, you know, and
thank
that
you.
You
thank you very much.
And that you have chosen this opportunity to share, because we never get too old to learn.
That's right. I agree completely.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you. Adia, I know that you've been sitting back there patiently, so please enlighten us or ask whatever you want to ask of Brother Chris here.
Well, I wanted to comment because I really liked what he said about the children, and I liked the question that you asked. And I like what you said, Chris, because that's a conversation that I have with my children, and I, you know, we can probably all attest to growing up that some things our parents didn't share with us. And it wasn't until we, you know, may have gotten older that we found out that whereas we may have thought we had it going on financially as kids, we really didn't. And mm-hmm. I know that was the case for me. And so one of the things that I've learned to do was, without telling my children every nook and cranny of what's going on, I've been responsible enough to let them know, hey, look, Things are tight, you know. We just moved
right.
from North Carolina via Kansas to Texas, and so our house has not rented. And so I told them, you know, right now things are tight. We still have enough, you know, we have money to where we can eat and pay our bills and have a roof over our head. But the reality is this, and so I don't like giving them false expectations, because
right.
what I found, like you said earlier, is that our children – nowadays they live in this entitlement age to where they think that they deserve something without having to do any work.
Right.
And me not having grown up in a house like that, I'm not raising my children, even though that's what the rest of the world may be doing, to include Christians. And so I think that having realistic expectations and being able to communicate that to our children will allow them to see that that sometimes things just can't happen. It's temporary, but they know. So they learn to be appreciative of what they have, and then they also feel like they're a part of the family structure to know what's going on without having to know every detail. So I really liked how you brought that out. The other point that I wanted to bring up was that parents have the responsibility to talk to our children, you know, and to let them know. Like I ask my children, you know, what are some things that you would like to get for Christmas? And then I let them know, well, here's an expectation for you, you
mm-hmm.
know, because I don't want them to grow up thinking that because they ask for something that they're automatically supposed to get it. And I think that's a lot of the problems that we've run into. And the last thing that I wanted to say is that when I think about holiday priorities, I think about what is going to help me get out of debt even faster, so that at the end of the day, there's a gentleman who has a financial program. He says, so that I can live like no one else, so that I can live like no one else. And so when I think about that, for me, my holiday priorities are centered around two more car payments to pay my car off. And I'm so thankful and just elated about that because I've been very aggressive with that. So priorities to me are those things that you deem to be most important. And like you said, Nate, if we deem frying a turkey, baking cakes, you know, spending money that we don't have, camping out at Best Buy 2 weeks before Black Friday, that's what we deem as a holiday priority, then we will definitely see the results of that. And, you know, the Word of God tells us, you know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is at.
Absolutely.
And so we'll begin to see where people's treasures are just based off of the things that they're doing. And if you don't have, if you're not communicating, if you're not, you know, holding yourself accountable and making sure that your children understand that, hey, this year I know you probably was looking to get, you know, those five pair of sneakers, which I think is ridiculous, but this year you're only going to get one because you just got two pair when school started. I don't think you should expect to get anything else more than what you need, you know. So I really liked what you said about the children and expectations, but also making sure that we as parents and as adults and as mentors, that we play, that we make sure that we're playing the bigger part to set up that expectation management for our children or for those young people whose lives that we can influence to help the parents out so that they're getting it. If they're not getting it at home, then they are getting it in the church or from the, you know, from someone in their community or neighborhood that really has a vested interest with them.
Chris, let me ask you this. You know, one of the things that I remember a couple of years ago, our youngest child, we had came from church on Christmas Day, and you know, we had our suits on, we had our red coordinated into our wardrobe. My wife had a red dress on. I had a nice red tie on with my kind of, you know, my suit. And I remember we had some clothes, and we were taking some clothes and some gifts. Right, there was a couple of gifts we were taking over to a place called the House of Mercy. I'm not sure if you ever heard of it before. It's in Columbus,
yes,
Georgia.
Yes, sir, I have. Yes, sir.
And I know I knew of and had conversations with Elder Harris before he passed away, who was the director of the House of Mercy. And I remember going over there, and we were dropping off some toys. And I just felt that was something important for my daughter. Man, I felt that was something important for my daughter, for my child to see, because it's something that they didn't see all the time. And I went there, and we dropped off the couple of things that we purchased, and I remember driving away, and I was probably about three blocks away, and I just, the Spirit of God just came in me, and I was just so broken inside, because I was seeing all of those parents with their children, grown-ups without children, but it was so many people there, and this is what I said. I mean, I was holding on to the steering wheel tight. I probably should have pulled over because it was almost becoming kind of dangerous. And my wife was looking at me, like, what's going on with you? But I was just so full, but I was so mad at the same time because I said, how in the world do we live in a world like this? I'm thinking about those people that were in need. I was thinking about those mothers that was there with their children. And I know what we had just dropped off, and it was from the heart. I couldn't go home. So I stopped by a Family Dollar. I just pulled over and went to the Family Dollar, and we just went shopping. And then we took it back over there, and we took it back over there, and I wasn't doing it for a photo op, but Elder Harris, he wanted it to be a photo op because he was so appreciative, especially after we went back. But speak to us on that, if you will, because not everybody has the opportunity to know that there are some people who are unfortunate out there that they can participate in giving to. How do you view that as a young person? What are some things that the young people can do, especially during this time of the year? But let's go beyond that. What can some of the young people do, or what are some of the things that you may have participated in, or at a dive, as y'all have participated in helping folks out? Because I've been there. So I know it is a youthful church, even though it's some adults there. But the,
right.
the young people, y'all run it. Y'all run the church.
Yes,
just
sir,
to be honest with you, y'all run the church.
Yes,
so.
Sir, we do. We get down. One of the things that we do, and we actually just made this announcement this past Sunday, is that we do a drive at our church where we have bins, boxes on boxes on boxes. And we give probably about a month's time, I would say, because we just announced it this past Sunday, so probably about a month and a half. And at their own leisure, you know, we have people that set back specific amounts of money from paychecks or from, you know, holiday spending funds or whatever it is that they have to specifically go and do what you were just talking about doing, whether it be the Family Dollar or the Walmart or whatever it is, and just buy toys for kids that we know won't get the same Christmas that we will. You know, and we don't mean that in a bragging way, but there are some kids that, you know, like you said, it's the world that we live in, that some kids just won't get to experience that sometimes. Right. So it's really a mission for us, because we have a heart for the community to help the children for sure, but also to give the parents, you know, the sense that just because you can't provide like you might want to doesn't mean that you're doing everything wrong.
That's good.
Because there's I can't speak for myself because I'm not a parent, but I've seen it on so many parents, is that there is a massive weight of responsibility of parents, which should be to be able to properly provide for their children and give them what their children want. And mm-hmm. disregarding the unnecessary and over excessive wanting, but just the things that parents see, you know, my children deserve to have this, and there are times where parents can't do that for their kids, which makes them feel inadequate as parents. So there's a lesson there to be learned, that your generosity, not only to the people that you're giving to, but to the families of those around, there's a sense of hope that's just instilled in the hearts of the people around when you do things like that. And whether it be a toy drive or I don't know if you were around, we had a friend named Zach Keeld, whose brother was really big into homeless ministry. And Nathan Heald. He started Banquet on the Bridge in downtown mm-hmm. Phoenix City, where we would take the bridge that was closed off, and we would have literally hundreds of people from churches all over the place would make food, and we would bring it out and have 50, 100 white tables set up with just nothing but soup and cornbread and things like that people get to eat in the comfort of their homes for the people that didn't have anywhere to go. Just to let them know that there's someone out there other than yourself that wants to know that you're okay. I mean, that's really, among a lot of other things, you know, the gospel for sure is a message of hope. And I think that when we call ourselves Christians and we intend for ourselves to be Christ-like, it's very important that we can carry out the message of hope within our own lives to show other people that there's more out there than your lack. That God is known as Jehovah Jireh, and he's the one that will always provide for you regardless of how it comes. He'll be the one to take care of you. And the beauty in that is us being allowed to be the hands and feet of Jesus to make sure that those needs are met.
Chris, everybody on this show, from Mama, Shatara, Brother Feaster, Adia, everybody who sits down, as we call, sitting down at the table with us, every last person knows that I am very, very big on meeting the needs of people. And think about what you just said. That leads me to just remembering or thinking about Matthew 25. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me some water. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you came to visit me. When I was in prison, you came to see about me. If we can't do that, if our ministry doesn't reflect those type of hands and feet of Christ, then that's usually not a ministry that I really want to be involved in.
Right.
Because if people can't see what we're doing, not for any show or fashion, but the reality
Absolutely.
Is if somebody's out there that's hungry, somebody need to be trying to give them something to eat.
Yes,
we all know that everybody doesn't say that they need help during this holiday time. So that's another big part for me. Some people are not going to say that they need help. So
it takes these
different ministries. It takes young people like yourself and what you and your church do to be able to go out there to do it. But what about those that are among us? And I can have you go back to when we went to church together, where there was a lot of people there, and it wasn't just young people. you can probably think back, just like I can. I went there for homecoming last week, and there's grown-ups that are struggling, may not have children, but grown-ups go through things during this time of the holiday season as well.
Absolutely.
That goes beyond just the parents. So
right.
what can young people do? How can you be an encouragement to us who, you know, may have lost somebody, who may have lost a loved one that we know about that's sitting there three rows up from us in our church?
Right. Right.
Or that person that's in school, you know, that's having a tough time because last year during this time, their parent may have died. A parent may have died. So how can young
right.
people help in that respect?
Right. I think that makes me think about the verse of 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 11, or excuse me, chapter 9, verse 11, where Paul is talking, and I'm pretty sure all of us know Paul is like one of the most brilliant people in the Bible. And he says that God will enrich us in every way so that we would in turn be able to enrich others.
Mm.
And what I draw from that, and this is something that I've been taught being where I'm at, and one of the things that we're very, very heavily in teaching is that you as an individual, you as a family, you as a Christian, you as whatever you call yourself, are blessed to be a blessing.
That's right.
When the word says that God will enrich you so that you may enrich others, yes, okay, we can take that financially. We can take that with skills. We can take that with talents or whatever it is that you want to do. But there's a level of recognition that needs to come from children and teenagers that the things that you have when it comes to parents, when it comes to grandparents, when it comes to the old man that lives across the street that you don't even know what he did in his younger years, there is something that everyone from the previous generation before you has done to bless you. And they deserve to be recognized for it. And I think one of the best ways that we are able to do that is to take the things that they have furthered in our lives, whether it be immediate or non-immediate or, you know, straightforward or, you know, kind of behind the scenes, that you can take the things that they've instilled in you, you can take the things that they have showed you or things like that, whether it be, it could be, you know, like my dad's an electrician. So there are times where I know that later, because he has taught me some things about his profession, that I will be able, future in my years, if somebody needs help with something, because he's blessed me with that, and I can bless someone else with the skill that he taught me. So there comes a time where the things that adults have given to my generation specifically, whether it be a skill in something like that, or whether it just be an ear that they sat down and listened when you had a problem, or they were there for you when you lost, you know, a loved one or something like that in your life, that you can say, they were there for me and they blessed me in that time. So this is for me, because I've received a blessing as such, that it should be my mission, not just because I feel obligated, but because it's the heart of God to be a blessing to other people, and that we want to see the ministry of Jesus furthered in everyone's lives. So it should be something that we take upon our own hearts, is to take the blessings that we've received ultimately from God and be able to reciprocate them back to someone else.
I like that. You know, one of the things that Mahatma Gandhi said was, action expresses priorities. So
absolutely.
if we are not taking the appropriate actions for the things that we're seeing within our communities, for the things that we're seeing from the brothers and our brothers and our sisters that we fellowship with Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, if we're not doing some of those things, and I think that we may have missed the mark in that particular area. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Doesn't mean that I'm a bad
right.
person. If it's the mark,
right.
it just means in that particular instance. So I think that this conversation that we're having tonight, dealing with this about the holiday priorities, is all about being proactive, because again, we know that everybody's not going to listen to the PRF table. I would love for it to be like that, but everybody's not
right.
going to. So it takes
That's
us
right.
to be able to communicate the things that we're talking about. Chris, hold on 1 minute for us. We have a caller that wants to jump in and has a question or comment, so call it with the last four, 5662. Welcome to the PRF table.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
Did you have a question or a comment for us?
Actually, I was just listening in. I caught some of the tail end of it. My name is Pastor Randy Wormley here in El Paso, Texas.
Welcome, Pastor. Welcome. Heard a lot about you.
Well, praise God.
I don't know how much you've caught on the show, but we have Pastor Chris, is a young, phenomenal young brother, and he's just been blessing us tonight. He's been blessing the youth as well as the seasoned saints that have been sitting on the line with us. And what we've been talking about, I don't know how much you've caught of the show. We've been talking about, you know, what are our priorities during the holidays? You know, is it about giving to the unfortunate? Is it about expecting presents? Is it about spending time with family, trying to make the necessary preparations for 2015? And Chris has just had a keen perspective on so many of the different areas that we've talked about. But did you have any questions or comments, or you just want to still listen in? Feel free. The floor is yours if you want it.
Well, that is very, very good, because this is the time of giving. This is the season of giving, not only for Thanksgiving, but we also are speaking of Christmas, because one of the greatest gifts that God ever given us is love. And that's what he commissions us to do as Christians, is to love his people. And one of the things that we look at during times of these seasons, you know, everyone gets so worked up about, you know, what they're going to cook for Thanksgiving and what gifts they're going to get or what gifts they're going to give. But the greatest gift that we can even give is love ourselves, because God said that, you know, well, Jesus was saying, you know, he must leave so we can do greater things. And so those greater things was to see about God's people. And this time of season here, we need to really reevaluate things, because as a family, you spending time together, you should be out there giving of your time. And that will help, you know, bring the families closer together, because you're out there ministering together, and where iron sharpens iron, we should be willing to be a blessing to the people who are unfortunate, you know, because the thing is, that was my testimony, because I was one of those unfortunate ones out there in the world, living in the street, eating out of trash cans and all this stuff. You may not believe it or not, but this was while I was in between transition of just getting out of the Army, becoming a civilian again, before I actually joined back into the Army. So I know what it is to be out there, you know, homeless and looking to see where your next meal is going to come from. But the thing was, God allowed me to go out there due to the fact that there was a message for the people who was out there on the street, because those people who I met out there, well-educated, smart individuals and all this stuff, but it was one thing that happened into their lives that caused them to lose jobs, lose their house, lose their family, to wind up there in the street. And one of the things that they lost that God said we should be teaching and preaching to the people is hope. Hope out there in the street is one of the greatest gifts, because those people who have lost hope, they don't, you know, they just want to give up. They just want to be out there and not having any worries, no bills to take care of or whatever the case may be. They have lost all hope. You're talking about some gifted and talented people out there that God can use mightily, but they lost hope, and nobody else has provided them hope, because we walk past those same people every single day. We drive past them every single day, and all they sometimes, you know, I honestly truly believe they sit in, they say, man, I just wish somebody would stop by here today and give me some type of hope, knowing that I can make it regardless if I'm out here in the street or not. And the thing is, God is telling us, you know, we only have but a short time, because we don't even know what time he's coming back. The thing is, we can't get caught with our work undone.
Right.
Hope for this world is what it needs. Because I don't know if you guys even seen about what happened down there in Florida State. You know, things are getting crucial and critical now. You have people who are in a state of disparity. You have people who became hopeless. Why? Because either people or the system have given up on them.
Right.
So now we have people falling by the wayside. We have people who have lost their minds, and who are people who will just say, you know what, since nobody loves me, since nobody cares about me and all this stuff, I might as well go ahead and do something radical. let me become famous before I happen to leave this earth, and not knowing that is the wrong way to go. So hope is what we should be living and giving, especially during these seasons upcoming, because we're only one, you know, they say we're only one paycheck away from being out there in the street too as well.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So, you know, like I said, God has given, I mean, we could be saved, sanctified, filled with the precious Holy Ghost, fire baptized and all that sort of stuff, but we still could lose one paycheck and find ourselves out there in the streets.
Yes,
sometimes we tend to forget where we came from. So we have to stop looking at things as if we're like the Sadducees and Pharisees, you know, because, you know, we might have all the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We got theological seminaries. We got all these degrees. But all those degrees and all the theological seminaries and everything else could wind us taking us to a place where we thought we were going to end up.
Right.
And that's in hell. But the thing is, we're gaining all these things because God is calling for us for wealth in spirituality, to become wealthy in the spirit first. So then the natural stuff will come later.
Yes, sir.
Because what he said in Matthew, he said, seek ye the kingdom of heaven. Right?
Yes, sir.
He said, then after all of that, while you're seeking, and when you're going diligently after him, then you're going to find yourself all the other stuff that you had so desired of, that you have been praying for, is going to be added onto you.
Yes.
One of the things is we got to find ourselves giving before we can get anything.
Mm.
So we got to look at the GG. We need to give first before we can gather anything, so we can obtain anything. And like I said, it goes back to hope. We need to be teaching and preaching hope to the people, not only the ones in our sanctuaries, but the ones outside of those walls that we solely go in on a Tuesday or Wednesday night in Bible study at your normal church services, whether it's two or three a day or whatever the case may be. We need to do the outreach of hope to the people who are lost, who are down and depressed, folks who are just giving up, folks who don't care about life anymore, because that's where it is for this season, is hope.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Powerful word, my brother. We thank you. You are welcome to have a seat at this table anytime. Thank you so much for those comments. We sure appreciate you. God bless. You know, one of the things that he said, and I don't think our brother was here, Chris, at the beginning of the show, one of the questions that I asked was about, you know, is your priority getting out of debt? Then right behind that I said, is your priority getting into debt? So if you think about it, there's a lot of our people, and we could just talk about in our community, a lot of our people in our community are in debt. All of us are in debt. In debt with some type of debt. You know, there's no such thing truly as being debt free. That's a lie. That's something that somebody has sold to try to sell books and videotapes and DVDs. You can never be totally debt free unless you own everything. So that's just stupid to be even saying. But anyway, there's going to be some people that are going to want to get out of debt come 2015. But the key is, don't put yourself in debt in 2014 intentionally during this holiday season. Brother Feaster, one of the other hosts of the show, said last week, what you do over the next 45 days is going to impact what happens to you on January 2nd, or is going to be there on January 2nd.
Right.
So as this brother just said, you know, he talked about hope, he talked about the spirituality piece of it. Before you can expect to get, you have to be willing to give.
Yes, sir.
But the reality is this. There's been a lot of people that's been giving all year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have been hearing messages in churches and from us as ministers, you know, give, 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 give. And they've been giving, 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 giving. And their debt is their debt and is still there. And as I said earlier, just because you pray, don't think that all of a sudden God is going to miraculously just wipe out all of your debt because somebody was owed that debt because you made it.
Right.
So is there some things that you think that we should be doing because you see it? Talk to us as grown-ups, you know, and you can be just as blunt as, you know, as you want to be. As grown-ups, y'all need to do X, Y, and Z because you see the things that we do out in the streets. and you see the things that we see each other doing as adults, as parents, but we don't want to hear from y'all. So you got the floor to say, hey, this is what I see y'all doing. These are some of the things that you think that we shouldn't do, especially when it comes to debt during this holiday season.
Right. I think this goes back to what I was trying to say earlier, is that there is I don't even know if there's really a word to describe it other than just false sense that the more, and that's really what it is, it's just a lie from the enemy, is that the more that you have, the better off you'll be. And, you know, again, I'll reference Paul when he says, you know, make it your goal to live a quiet life, a simple life, and work with your hands so that people would see you and find you as respectable. And one of those things that we do is we pride ourselves in knowing what we know, doing what we do, and being as successful as we are because we get promoted. But when it comes down to it, there's no dedication of things that we have to God. And I think, honestly, I think one big thing that would fix that, and I know this sounds very cliche because we hear it all the time in churches, if you tithe, you'll be blessed. You know, you give to God and he'll give back to you and this, this, and this. But they say, I think one verse that we use a lot at church is Galatians 6:6-9, where it says, those who are taught in the word should provide back to their teachers the good things. Don't be misled because you cannot mock God. Whatever you sow, that also shall you reap. Those who satisfy their sinful nature will harvest decay and death, and those who satisfy their spirit nature will reap everlasting life. So do not grow weary in doing good, for at the right time we will reap a harvest of blessing if we faint not.
That's right.
And I think that's one thing that we have very so much neglected. And I say we, and myself included, because kids, honestly, nowadays don't even know what a tithe is. And it's one of those things that you said earlier when you were talking about giving and you had your daughter with you, is that when children see parents do those kind of things, it makes them question, why do you do that? Why is that so important? And there's a lack here now in the present time because parents aren't doing, like we're talking about offering is one thing. Tithing is a command of God. And we see time and time again where there are commands that aren't followed. And because the commands of God are not followed, the consequences are justified as being given. Now, I'm not saying that God is punishing us, you know, by not having or whatever because we haven't tithed, but you can notice that there's a lack in where you're lacking at, and you can trace it back to the things that you give and the commands that you follow when it comes to, you know, whether it be your finances or anything else like that. So I think there needs to be a completely off subject because it's not even directly relevant to giving, but there has to be a rebirth of love for the house of God. There has to be a rekindling of old fire that was once placed in our hearts as adults to see the house of God grow in every aspect and to help in every single way that we can. You know, when you were asking earlier about things that we can do to help the community, there's things, I'll reference, you know, where I go, we have a I guess you could call it a membership with the local food bank. And we receive groceries once a month from the food bank. We go and pick them up and we bag them right in the middle of the sanctuary and open the church door for the rest of the night for people that are lacking in food in that area because they have financial problems to come and to get groceries for themselves and their children. And it's places, and that's what I'm talking about with the reaping, is that if you sow your seed where you can sow your seed, and wait and just be expectant with it and know that God has promised that he will not leave you alone. You know, he'll never leave you or forsake you, and he sticks close to the brother. And we quote those things all the time, but there's a lack of faith for us to really believe them because we have taken on the microwave mentality that if we can wait for 2 minutes and it's not there, then it must not really be meant for us to have. But we read in James 1, you know, that count it a joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience and endurance. And those are the things that God is looking for. So there has to be a rebirth of love, of just love of the house of God and the ministry of Jesus to see spread in other people. And I think when we can rekindle that love in ourselves and really understand that whatever it takes for me to be able to do what I can do for the kingdom of God, I'll do it. And that's where we can fix a lot of our problems, but, you know, especially in the area of finances. Because if we would understand that, I mean, and we all know this, we all know this. I'm 18 and I know this. You know, everything nowadays costs money.
Mm-hmm.
You have
right.
to have money for everything. It doesn't matter what it is. You have to have money. And it's very crucial. And, you know, yes, we trust God, but God is not the kind of, we never see God in Scripture to be the kind that allows us to be lazy and not hold up our end of the bargain in order for him to hold up his end. He's always faithful, but there has to be a reciprocating action on our side to show that we trust in him so that he can fulfill the trust that we have in him.
Speaking of a reciprocating action, you know, one of the scriptures that I love so much is out of Proverbs, Proverbs 6, where it says, you know, go to the ant, observe her ways, and be wise. Three things. Go mm-hmm. to the ant, observe her ways, and be wise, which have no,
absolutely.
You know, they don't have a chief, they don't have a ruler, they don't have, you know, no CEO, they don't have no pastor, you know, there's the queen, you know, the queen ant, of course, but they don't have that one person that's directing. That person,
right.
that ant prepares the food in the summer and gathers whatever provision they need for the harvest, during the harvest time. Because they know that there's going to be a time that they're not going to be able to go out there and eat. Reminds me of right now what happened in Buffalo, New York. I don't know if you watched the news, but they got 9 feet of snow last night in Buffalo.
Wow.
Look, I'm 6'2". That means I couldn't even – I'm 6'2", and I would have been messed up just trying to stand up in that. But here's what I thought was amazing. As we get ready to wind down. So if you are listening and you want to jump into the conversation, just press 1. The switchboard will light up, or you can call in 914-338-1692. But here's what I thought was interesting as I watched this on the news this morning. The city of Buffalo has Buffalo Bills has a game this Sunday,
mm-hmm.
NFL, those of you who don't know what football is. And it was amazing how the city – is going to pay. They offered to pay any and everybody who wants to come out $10 an hour to shovel the snow from the stadium. Watch
wow.
This. Not only are they going to pay any and everybody who wants to shovel the snow away from the stadium so that the game can go on Sunday as planned, they're also going to give anybody who comes out there not just $10, but they're also going to give them tickets to the game.
Wow.
Now, think about this. Think about what the brother pastor who was speaking, what you said about helping folks. Why in the world does it take an act of God like snow to come in order for the city, the place, has the ability to provide those type of resources to people that are in need?
Right.
So that lets us know that we operate within a system. We operate within the kingdom. We understand that as believers. However, we also operate within a system of structures of government that are not always conducive to helping folks like we are. So it does go back to, it can't be on the government, even though they have a responsibility in some respects. It can't be on your city. We have to look inwardly at us and say, what are we doing? When Jesus said, when
right.
you fed me, he didn't say when the government fed me. He didn't say when the government put clothes on my back. He didn't say that. He said, he was talking to his folk. So we have a responsibility to do that. And I think it's so crucial that during this time, we do whatever is necessary. We put those one steps forward so that God can take another step. And I tell anybody, I said this before, if I take one step, God doesn't have to take two. He can take one because his one is always going to be bigger than mine.
Yes, sir.
So there's some things that I think have to be done for us in our individual lives. We have to be able to assess what's going on in our lives and make the necessary actions like we were talking about. Well, Mama, did you have anything else that you wanted to bring before the table before we shut it down for the night? Because tonight has been awesome. I think this has probably been the best show of the year, Chris. And I say that with all humility and all honesty, because everybody knows I don't say it unless I mean it.
Well, I'm just glad that you guys let me be a part, if we're being honest. This has been an experience for me. I can say that I've never been on the radio before. So to be on with people like you guys, man, and just to know that the heart, you know, that there's a kindred spirit about this is just really inspiring.
I got you. And I would say we definitely would love to have you back on, and it doesn't have to be at a guest. This is how the PRF table works. You know, anybody who God lays it on my heart, or any of us as the host of this show, to come on and to speak and to operate in their gifting, their calling, and whatever God is doing. The second time is like coming to the house. The second time you come over to the house, you're not a guest anymore. So
yeah, that's right.
That's how we operate right here. You know, God gave me the vision, and I've opened it up. So that's why I'm not the host of the PRF table. That's why we have multiple hosts, because everybody has a part to play in what God is doing in the different ways that God is trying to use all of us. So
absolutely.
We thank you, my brother. We thank you. And I did put a post out there saying that I was proud of you. I know everybody who's been listening is definitely in awe. We had one of our listeners that said, "How old are you?" And I think you already put it out there because you said 18. I said, "I don't know, 18, 19, 20, I don't know." But you are 18, is that correct?
Yes, sir, I'm 18. I have 22 days, not that I'm counting until I turn 19.
Wow.
But I'm working on it.
18 years old, ladies and gentlemen, and speaking with the wisdom of what we believe will be of a sage. So, Chris, we thank you so much. We're going to shut it down for tonight. On behalf of myself, Sister Adia Sanders, Mary Ann Williams, a.k.a. Mama, Brother Feaster, also in his absence, we just say thank you for everybody who's been listening and taking the time out of your schedules. Next week is Thanksgiving. I do not believe that we will be having a show next Thursday, but just look at our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and if everybody wants to come back to the table on Thanksgiving, I think last year we did it a little bit early so that everybody could have a little bit of time with their family. So those of us who host the show, we'll get together and we'll decide on how we're going to do it for next week. But if not, have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. Enjoy the rest of your week. God bless you. We love you. Have a good day.
I made it through.
I made it through.
I win. if I had a window. Is there anybody in here that's been through anything that you almost threw in the towel? But when you look back over your life, you realize I made it. Is there anybody in here that knows that you made it? I made it. 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 The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. I made it. He still has a plan for me.